Parati, Iskan Town, Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Sehgaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adveti Garadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki, Shishi Radha Krishna Gaur Gopakapina Shyam Kunda Radha Kuni Giri Govidhana ki, Shri Vrindavan Dhamma ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma ki, Ganga Mai ki, Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulasi Devi ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jainita Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the Samudra Bhaktis. All glories to the Samudra Bhaktis. All glories to the Samudra Bhaktis. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Bhuyo Namas Sad Vrijina Chidhe Satam Asambhava Yakila Sattva Murtaye Kumsam Kunaf Paramahamsya Ashrame Vyavasthitanam Anumrigya Dashushe Bhuyo Namasad Vrijinach Chide Satam Asambhavaya Kila Sattva Murtaye Pum Sambhunav Paramahamsya Ashrame Vyavastitam Anumrigya Vyavastitanam Anumrigya Dashuse Anumrigya Dashuse Bhuyo Namasad Vrijinach Chide Satam Asambhavaya Kila Sattva Murtaye Pum Sambhunav Paramahamsya Ashrame Vyavastitanam Anumrigya Dashuse Bhuyo Namasad Vrijinach Chide Satam Asambhavaya Kila Sattva Murtaye Pum Sambhunav Paramahamsya Ashrame Vyavastitanam Anumrigya Dashuse ashrame
yadasvitanam
anamrik yadashushe
Again,
Nama,
my obeisances,
Sat,
of the devotees, or the pious,
Vrijina,
distresses,
Chide,
the liberator,
Asatam,
of the atheists,
the non-devotee demons,
Asambhavaya,
cessation of further unhappiness.
Akila,
complete.
Sattva,
goodness.
Murtaye,
unto the personality.
Pumsam,
of the transcendentalists.
Punaha,
again.
Paramahamsaye,
the highest stage of spiritual perfection.
Ashrame,
in the status.
Vyavastitanam,
particularly situated.
Anumrigya,
the destination.
Dashuse,
one who delivers.
Translation.
I again offer my respectful obeisances under the form of complete existence and transcendence, who is the liberator of the pious devotees from all distresses, and the destroyer of the further advances in atheistic temperament of the non-devotee demons. For the transcendentalists who are situated in the topmost spiritual perfection, he grants their specific destinations. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna is the complete form of all existence, both material and spiritual. Akhila means complete, or that which is not kila, inferior. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, there are two kinds of nature, prakriti, namely the material nature and the spiritual nature, or the external and internal potencies of the Lord. The material nature is called apara, or inferior, and the spiritual nature is called superior, or transcendental. Therefore, the form of the Lord is not of the inferior material nature. He is complete transcendence, and he is murti, or having transcendental form. The less intelligent men who are unaware of his transcendental form describe him as impersonal Brahman. But Brahman is simply the rays of his transcendental body, yasya prabha. The devotees who are aware of his transcendental form render him service. Therefore, the Lord also reciprocates by his causeless mercy and thus delivers his devotees from all distresses. The pious men who follow the rulings of the Vedas are also dear to him. And therefore, the pious men of this world are also protected by him. The impious and the non-devotees are against the principles of the Vedas. And so such persons are always hampered from making advances in their nefarious activities. Some of them who are specially favored by the Lord are killed by him personally, as in the cases of Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, and Kamsa. And thus such demons get salvation and are thereby checked from further progress in their demoniac activities. Just like a kind father, either in his favor upon the devotees or his punishment of the demons, he is ever kind to everyone because he is the complete existence for all individual existence. The Paramahamsa stage of existence is the highest perfectional stage of spiritual values. According to Srimati Kunti Devi, the Lord is factually understood by the Paramahamsas only. As there is gradual realization of the transcendence from impersonal Brahman to localized Paramatma to the personality of Godhead, Purushottama, Lord Krishna similarly, As there is gradual realization of the transcendence from impersonal Brahman to localized Paramatma to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottama, Lord Krishna, similarly, there is gradual promotion of one's situation in the spiritual life of sannyas, kutichak, bahudak, paribrajakacharya, and paramahamsa are equally progressive stages in the renounced order of life, sannyas. And Queen Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, has spoken about them in her prayers for Lord Krishna, Canto 1, Chapter 8. The paramahamsas are generally found among both the impersonalists and the devotees. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, as clearly stated by Kunti Devi, pure bhakti yoga is understood by the paramahamsas, and Kunti Devi has especially mentioned that the Lord descends paritra nayasadhunam, especially to award bhakti to the paramahamsas. So ultimately the paramahamsas, in the true sense of the term, are unalloyed devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami has directly accepted that the highest destination is bhakti yoga, by which one accepts the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Those who accept the path of bhakti yoga are the factual paramahamsas. Since the Lord is very kind to everyone, the impersonalists who accept bhakti as a means of merging into the existence of the Lord in his impersonal Brahma Jyoti are also awarded their desired destination. He has assured everyone in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Ye yatamam prapadyante. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, there are two classes of paramahamsas, namely the Brahmanandis, impersonalists, and the Premanandis, devotees, and both are awarded their desired destinations. Although the Premanandis are more fortunate than the Brahmanandis, but both the Brahmanandis and the Premanandis are transcendentalists. They have nothing to do with the inferior material nature full of the existential miseries of life. So we're establishing here that Krishna is the complete form of all existence. So everything that's happening, everything we see, know, experience, is all Krishna. But some is coming, for those who are fortunate, then through the transcendental experience, and for those who are less, then through other spheres of existence. So, in here we find that there is the elevation of the human being, there's the development, there's the culture. So, Prabhupada's mentioning the Paramahamsa is the highest stage of spiritual values. So, in the Varnashram system, Brahmachari Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas is the spiritual system. Right? One is occupational, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and the other is spiritual. So within the spiritual, then the highest is the Paramahamsa. So factually, when we discuss Varnashram, it must include the Paramahamsa stage. As we see Narad Muni's discussion in the Bhagavatam, is like that. Basically, two chapters would be given to what we would call Varnashram. And then the others are given to these spiritual values, and specifically to the Paramahamsa, as the perfection. So, the real engagement of one's body, mind, and words in uplifting activities is the Paramahamsa. That's the actual platform we're trying to obtain. Because anything less is not complete. The Paramahamsa now may be acting as the Paramahamsa, or the Paramahamsa may act as a Madhyama. So they may either follow the direction of the social orders, or they may not, depending upon the Lord's desire. If they are fulfilling some direction of the Lord to establish a good example in a particular area, then they're doing. As we see here is Pratikit Maharaj as a king, he's then giving good example of how a king retires, how a king gives up the material endeavor. So this material endeavor then is shown by the king, who basically we could say is as good as it gets in the material world. Right? When it talks about material enjoyment, then the Taittiriya Upanishad does not mention the Brahmana. Right? At least not down here. It starts off one unit of human, a full unit of human happiness is described as a sovereign, undisputed emperor of the world. And his kingdom is running nicely. The happiness that that entity will feel is called one full unit of human happiness. Everything less than that we can understand is some fraction of a portion of a drop of a nanometer. Right? So, whatever. So then it goes up to the demigods, up to Indra. Then only from there, then it starts into, for those who are devoid of interest in sense gratification, then we start off with Bhrigu, the Prajapatis, up to Brahma. Like that. But everything below that is all identified as kings. The demigods are taking the post of Kshatriyas, Indra's a Kshatriya, the human king's a Kshatriya, so it's described there. It doesn't describe somewhere else. So, therefore, it's very fitting that the example is being given by Pariksit Maharaj. Because here is such a person. As good as it gets here in the material world, here is that person. It says he has an unrivaled kingdom. He has no karna. He has no Dushasana, no Duryodhana, no Shakuni. They're all dead. Right? Arjuna had to go out and establish Yudhishthira Maharaja's sovereignty. He was born into it. So he was the sovereign king, everything set up, no worries. Right? So here, that person then is giving that all up and accepting the stage of the Paramahamsa. So this is very significant. Right? So we can't say, well, it's different, right? The mind likes to do that, and somehow or another relegate the Vedic literature to something archaic, impractical, and has nothing to do with me sitting here today. Right? He's interested in position, power, influence. He eats good food, he wears nice clothes, he has his wife, he has his vehicles. He likes to ride around in them, right? He likes to go and establish, his authority and what's right and wrong. Does this sound familiar at all? So if it does, how can we at any time ever say or even think it's irrelevant? So now if we accept it as relevant, then as good as it gets in the material world here, he's got it. And he's able to move from there forward to the Paramahamsa platform. Right? We have all kinds of excuses why we can't be the Paramahamsa. Right? There's always something there. But none of us have an attachment or a field of attachment as great as Pratikit Maharaj. Right? The point is, it doesn't get better than that. You can't. That's it. That's as far as it gets on this platform. Right? Beyond that, then, Paramahamsa. Right? That's the standard. So, him taking up this platform then shows that anybody can do it. That's the point. The Brahmacharya Grihastha Vanaprastha Sannyas, and in Sannyas, Paramahamsa. So this is the progression that we are all expected we are going to take. Right? One may ask, no, but Vedic literature, there's this or that, or only certain varnas take sannyas, or only the men take sannyas. No. That's the external, that's the social form of varnashram. Right? Because we're social animals, we have to interact, right? One may say, oh no, but we can go off to the forest, right? But still, the Unibomber wasn't blowing up trees around his cottage, right? He was still interacting with the society, even though he's this hermit and doesn't like it and has gone away and trying to hide away. Still, he has to harass everybody else. They have to be humans. So we're social animals. We can't get away from that. So therefore, there's a form of social life. Right? So it's there. It's just like if I come up to you, then naturally it's, you know, Hari Bol or, you know, something. If I said Shazam, then you'd go, huh? What's going on? You know? Next time you come up, then I go, and then you think, oh, he's going to say Shazam. And I say Edsel, you know? Or, you know, you're going to, what's happening here? You know? But it's, so the idea is there's some set form that really, it works nicely. It always works. I can always come up to any devotee anywhere in the world and go Hari Bol and expect to get a decent interaction. They're not going to go Hari what? You know? You know, it's going to Hari Bol. Oh, Hari Bol, you know? And then maybe you'll get, you know, please accept my humble obeisances, or maybe not, depending upon the contemporaneous of the situation. But something will be there, right? You know, like that. And then you have standard things. Okay, what service you do, or what's your name, or who's your guru, or what temple you're in, or what yatra you're in. You already have a set thing, you know. We have those things. Others have the weather, or, you know, something. There's always some set standard. Does that make sense? So that's why there's the social form of varnashram. But that's not the actual varnashram. The real varnashram is the spiritual progress of the living entity. And since he's in the material world, he has to make a buck to maintain that. Therefore, Varna Dharma. Right? But the whole emphasis is the ashram dharma, is the spiritual progress, and everybody is to end up as Paramahamsa. Example being given is in the story of Puranjana. Then when we end up with the Maharaj Malayadvaj and Queen Vidarbhi, then they're being discussed on the Paramahamsa platform. Right? This husband and wife, as vanaprastas, are Paramahamsas. Right? So that's the whole point, is we come to the stage where material endeavor is not important. Only exclusively spiritual endeavor. So that's ekayana. Right? So that's the purpose of the Varnashram system, is to get you there. That's the purpose of the Pancharatrik system, is to get you there. One is through social rules, one is through the rules of worship. And the Bhagavad Dharma means you're already there. Right? So that's the whole purpose, is to bring one to that stage. So Krishna, he is the form of all this existence. The Paramahamsa platform, then that means one is either interested in Krishna as a person or not. But in any case, those existences are still him. The Brahman is him. Right? What is it? Brahmano hi pratishtaham. It's him. It's coming from him. So then, the spiritual world is, he uses the word apara. Para, it's transcendental, purna, it's complete, it's full. So that's Krishna. It's based on him, it's happening around him, it's all going on because of him. It's his energies that are making it happen. Same the material energy, it's him. Whatever is here is us. Right? That thing, you know, whatever you see is me, you know, like that. So, that's, everything is him. So, whatever the stage, one can be absorbed in Krishna completely. Right? That's the point. It doesn't matter what the varna, what the ashram is. Those are for ease of social situation, so that you can absorb yourself fully in Krishna's service. Right? That's what it's for. But the purpose of it is to be absorbed in Krishna, because he is existence. Right? He is Sat. From Sat, then you get your chit, you get your ananda. Interesting, if we break this down, is then you get Sankarshan Prajumna Adi Ruda Vasudev. Sankarshan will be the field in which any activity is performed, right? Spiritual material. Because it's all coming from Krishna. All the elements of the spiritual world, all the elements of the material world are Krishna. So their proper situation, their proper relationship, their proper interaction, how they should be, how they do relate and how they should relate to each other, that's Sankarshan. Right? So this is the foundation, this is the existence platform of Sambandha. So here, this is Krishna, what's being mentioned here. Then, within that, then there is the personal aspect of our desire, right? The feeling, right? You have the feeling, I mean the field, then there is feelings towards that field, right? So that is prajumna, or attraction to this field. Right? Because otherwise you can't get attracted to nothing. You have to get attracted to something. Right? And something's useless if there's not some feeling towards it. Right? Now if there is feeling towards it, then there will become a need to interact with that, to gain something. Right? There'll be a need. That need then is aniruddha. The activity itself, when you combine those three, you have a field, you have a desire, you have a need, then you combine those, you make the endeavor based on those three. That's Vasudev. Right? So this is why you end up with four. Right? Does this make sense? Because this element of prajumna, because it's dealing with the senses, you can, in one sense, it does have the element or the flavor of abhideya, because you're using intelligence and the senses to actually perform the activity. But the desire for it, that's prajumna. And the actual operating it, that's vasudev. Right? Therefore, we're engaging the senses in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? The field means the senses sub-objects. That's all there is. That's all we can perceive. Right? Unless you want to do everything through a Ouija board. But still, you got to use your hands. You know? So, the point is there's what you can see, smell, touch, taste, and hear. That's it. Right? So, that's the field. So the field means the senses and sense objects. Then the mind, as the 16th, holds that all together in that it wants something from those other 15. Right? The senses, the sense objects, and the tanmatras, actually it's more than, and the working senses. So then there were 20 things there. Right? The mind then wants something from there. Desires something, needs something, then those same senses are engaged, right? So this is why sometimes it's a little confusing. There's an overlap here. So now, an interesting point comes, is a smarta. What is a smarta? Smarta means they know the field, and they operate the field, but there's no higher, how you say, purpose to it other than themselves. Right? The other person is not actually the important part of the field. In other words, you have the field, then there's desire within that, but that desire means relationship. And therefore there's a fulfillment of that relationship, so there's an activity. And that creates a social interaction. Does that make sense? So that's proper, that's human, that's complete, that's personal. Smarta will be that the field is there, they know it exactly, how everything relates to each other. You know, the purpose of everything, all that. But their desire is simply for themselves. So it doesn't actually include anybody else. Everybody else is actually only part of the field. Does that make sense? They're not actually part of the desire or need. Do we catch the subtlety here? Does that make sense? In other words, the Sankarshan is their whole focus. But Sankarshan is the field from which there's desire, prajumna, which you're trying to get to Aniruddha. So then Vasudeva will be the pastime through which Aniruddha will be obtained. Right? Or the pleasure of Vasudeva, because the senses are engaged in the Lord's service. That makes sense? So the smarta knows the field very well, and they want to get just what they want for themselves. So the other people only become instruments or elements of this field. Right? But for the devotees, then the other living entities and the Lord, that is actually the main field. And the other elements are simply how to enhance that, their happiness and that interaction. Does that make sense? So the people are the main element of the field. Senses are subservient to that. Smartas then will be, or the impersonal is the field, the senses, and the that's the main thing. And then what I will get, I'm the person. So therefore, they're monists. This is the it's only them. My personalist means is two. Does that make some sense? So if you know the culture, if you've seen or you've actually interacted with pure, bona fide, you know, high-grade, you know, smart Brahmins, their family life, everything, they have their kids, everything's going great, but it's got this particular dryness to it because everybody is only the field for everybody else. If you've ever had that, I don't know. You can catch that. It's very interesting, because is anybody, you can see it in South very nicely. Talk about nice people in the way of everything is perfectly done, pious, there's nothing wrong about it, but it's dry. Because they're only dealing with a field, and there's themselves. Right? So this is important, is that the other people are what's important, and then the senses are what is engaged in the Abhideya. But within this, if the Lord's involved, then it's spiritual. If it's not, then it's sentimental. Right? It's pious. Right? Pious means so you as a person, the other family members of the person, whatever it is, you know, being married for 7 lifetimes, or, you know, setting things up for the next generation, or, you know, whatever it may be. People are there, it's done like that, it's nice. But when the Lord's involved, then it comes to the, then it becomes the transcendental platform. So when the Lord is fully involved, the field is the Lord and His devotees. The goal, the desire is to please the Lord and devotees. Right? The goal is their happiness. Right? The endeavor, engaging the senses, is their happiness. The perfection is their happiness. Right? That's Paramahamsa. Right? So it doesn't matter what varna or ashram is happening in. Paramahamsa, we'll say, is transcendental. So that's the point. It's transcendental to varna ashram. Means socially we follow it because you have to have some system, right? Otherwise, how do you know how to interact? You know, we don't come up and shake hands. The karmis, you don't shake hands. They think they can't understand. They don't know what to do. We come up, oh, I bow all this. They're free. They don't know what's going on. But you come up to them and shake their hand, then they're comfortable. They know what's going on. Oh, hey, he's greeting, like that. Does that make sense? Right? But the point is that the Paramahamsa platform is what we're trying to cultivate, what we're trying to develop. That doesn't matter. It's transcendental. It doesn't matter what the varna ashram means. Some varna, some ashram has to be accepted because the senses have to be engaged. How you engage the senses, you have these choices. What is the field you want to work with? Right? Because there is only these 8 fields. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. You operate them nicely, it's called varnashram. You operate them unscientifically, it's not. It's called mlecha, yavana, tribal. You know, so many terms are there. But when it's operated scientifically, it's varnashram. But that's not our purpose. That's not our goal. We're not trying to establish perfect varnashram. We're trying to establish paramahamsas. But, as a condition, means, but Vasudev means engaging the senses in the Lord's service. That's what it means. That's all, if you look at it, any devotee, that's all they're ever doing. Right? Devotees who use the yoga or the tapasya or these kind of things, aren't considered the best, right? They're not considered the best platform. But those engage the senses in the Lord's service, they're considered better. So you're not going to get away from that. So that's not the problem. The problem is not the senses. The problem is misuse of the senses. That they're not connected, the activity being performed is not connected to the Lord, that we're progressing to the Paramahamsa platform. Right? When the senses are fully engaged, doesn't matter what, we open Bhagavatam, we have sages sitting in the forest. Then immediately we move into the city, we have kings. And then within that, half of the ones that are being talked about are women. Kunti is there, Uttara is there, the ladies in I think it's in Dwarka, on the roofs, like that. And then they're referring to the gopis. Then you have the kings, Bhishma and the Pandavas on the battlefield, the bed of arrows, and then Bhishma's talking, about them and their activities. And then it's talking about the gopis and the davan. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the field. The field means what's around us. What we can deal with our senses. So when that's dealt with in a progressive way, that it engages it in the Lord's service, that's what we're doing. That's the perfection. And when it's completely engaged, that's a paramahamsa. And less than engaged means a sadhaka. Does that make sense? So in any case, it's the same. Just one has perfected it, and others are work on, in the process of perfecting it. But that should be the endeavor. It's not that, well, I have my devotional activities, and then I have my sensual, or my practical, or my... No, it's the same field. You are who you are, unless you have different personalities. Like that, you know. Then you can do it. I mean, Jekyll and Hyde could probably get away with it, but, you know. But, you know, like that. So, but still, it's not going to work. One has to combine it. The closer it is that it's the same, then that's the thing. Then that's the perfection. Any questions on this? Okay. Here we'll start from this side and go this way. Okay.
If Vaishnava is a spiritual progression, in what sense is the grihastha then more progressed than the brahmacharya?
Oh, okay. If the varnashram or the ashram dharma is a spiritual progression, what way is the grihastha more spiritually advanced than the brahmachari? Basically, you have two kinds. It means what you're trying to do. The grihastha means that the senses, I mean, how to say, let's just take the general principle is for all of them that the senses are fully engaged in the Lord's service. My body, mind, and words are engaged in the Lord's service, right? Body means the gross body. The mind will mean all your desires and everything. Your words will mean the intelligence and the senses. So you catch the whole thing. And the mind also means your identity, right? Because the body means identity, who you think you are, right? So the subtle identity, the gross identity, means that's all, that's one, that's the false ego, right? The mind means the desires and the values, and the intelligence means the intelligence and the senses. So the whole, all the eight elements, right, are engaged. So that's what you're trying to do. So you're trying to situate yourself in such a way that you are fully engaged. In this, the purpose is to understand that really there's nothing to gain from material endeavor. Right? As the idea that by increasing my facility and options for enjoyment and to enjoy those things is something of value that you're trying to remove by this spiritual progress. And Paramahamsa means only engaging my senses in the Lord's service is useful. Everything else is useless. Okay? So that is a foundation. So now, so the Grihastha Ashram means we can perfectly engage all the senses fully in the Lord's service. Right? Means whatever you could do with the senses legally, it can be done by the grihastha. Right? So that's its perfection, is that it's so complete if someone knows what they're doing. Much of the time we only take what we want and leave what we don't want, you know, the work part, you know. The boys like the girls, hang out with them, talk to them, touch them, kiss them, do whatever, get as far as you can, great, but to take responsibility and bankroll them, well, hey, you know, commitment, I'm not sure, you know. So that's the thing, is that we like just how much we want from it. Or the girls, hey, the guy's great, he forks out stuff, he takes us where, we get some situation, but to reciprocate with that, with, you know, some affection and some service, I'm not so sure, you know. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem there. But it has the option to fully engage. So all the aspects of rasa can be tasted. And what the idea is, having tasted them, having engaged them properly according to Guru and Sadhu and Shastra, then one loses the interest in them. Like we see Yayati, he hadn't fulfilled his needs. He took the youth of his youngest son for 1,000 years. He engaged his senses, but it twice mentions, or three times mentions, without breaking any of the Shastric injunctions. Right? So that just means engaging the senses. Sensuality means eating a good meal is sensuality. Nowadays, sensuality becomes default setting means sex. You know, just like, you know, they're doing it, you know, or, you know, there's all these, it, default means, but in the Vedic, it just means you have 5 senses and you have the workings, so they can all be engaged. The genital happens to be one of them, you know, like that. So all these different things, just sitting with the family and nicely interacting, having the pleasantness, that's also involves sensuality. You know, you're touching, you're talking, you're hearing sweet words. So it's very broad. So all that can be experienced. And then by doing that, then one starts to notice that its only value is its connection to Krishna, because it is Krishna. Well, the taste I'm getting out of the niceness of being with the family members is actually only Krishna. And if I realize Krishna in it, it's greater. I don't realize Krishna in it, it's less. It's Krishna anyway. I don't realize it's then I'm in Maya. The activity may be controlled by the modes, it's still Krishna's potencies, but I'm in Maya. I realize it's Krishna, I'm not in Maya. But if I realize it's Krishna, then Krishna as a person, he's better than Krishna as the universal form. Right? Because the wife, the children, the money, the position, all that is manifestations in the universal form. So I'm actually appreciating Krishna Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. That's actually what material endeavor is. Now you can try to be Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and try to exploit the material energy, or you can understand I'm servant of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and therefore his energies are moving and interacting. It's his pastime. But it's his pastime means it runs according to his direction, Shastra and everything like that. I can't say, oh, it's his pastime and do what I want. That's cheating. You know what I'm saying? Then you start to see is, okay, that's nice, that's great, but the taste of him as a person, as Krishna, and the taste of chanting and associating with devotees and that, on that, that's higher, it's greater. That's the perfection of Grihastha life. Right? That's what you're trying to do. That is the, then one has brought Grihastha Ashram to the Paramahamsa platform. Right? Does that make sense? So now we will answer your question. In Brahmacharya, there's 2 kinds, Upakurvana and Naistika. Naistika means this, what we've talked about, that the Grihastha comes to realize through engaging the senses and the sense objects according to the directions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. He already has that realization by hearing about it. He hears it, he understands it. There's no need, no interest. So if there's no interest, there's no need. Therefore, he remains Brahmachari. So that Brahmachari is superior spiritually to the Grihastha. Only the Grihastha who's come to that platform, then they're equals. Right? Does that make some sense? So, but generally that kind of Grihastha is known as a Vanaprastha. Right? So then the Naistika Brahmacharis, the Vanaprasthas and the Sannyasis, they're basically on the same platform. Does that make sense? Now the Upakurvana Brahmachari means one who understands all this, but still there's an interest to operate the field. There's still that desire is there. But he has knowledge, so he knows how to engage it according to the scriptures, and that's his interest. How to engage the senses according to Krishna's direction. Not that, oh, now I know it, now it takes the mystique out of it. Now, okay, wow, I always, the girls are so great, but Now I know it's just mucus and bile and air just, you know, all moved around in the right places, but still, you know, like that, you know. So that takes something else. So ignorance is bliss. No, that's okay for donkeys. But for humans, then the knowledge is actually bliss, because then you get to operate that system knowing what it is. Right? Then you look at it, then you can see it for what it is. I mean, the point is material life, you're going to get your equal amount of happiness and frustration anyway. You might as well know why it's working. Right? Ever notice that after a problem with the other person, then when that works out, the happiness is gained is as much good as it was bad. So now if you know how to operate the system, you get it from that bad to that good. You don't know, it'll just get worse. Does that make sense? But know that it goes to that, then that means now it's gone to that. The option is there for it to go to the opposite, because it has to balance. How much happiness, you must get that much distress, otherwise it's overbalanced. Right? It's just so you know how it works, so you know what to do to make it bring to the other. So to do that means you have to have all the good qualities. The Naistika Brahmachari is humble. Right? The guru says, do this, he does it. The Upakurvana does it and then thinks, I will also be leader. Then he goes out, gets married, and then his wife says, do this. Right? If he's successful, he develops humility and he does it. Right? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So it's the same thing. So it's learned by hearing. That's the Naistika. No need to get married. The Rupa Kurvana hears it, knows it, but still is that interest. Then he goes in, then he learns it. Does that make sense? So a Grihastha is the step forward where the Upakurvana can practically then engage the senses according to the knowledge he has in the Lord's service. So therefore it's a step forward. Does that make sense? But for a Naistika, it's unnecessary. So it's not that it would be a step backwards, it's just not an option. It doesn't exist. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Right? Means you're hungry. So then getting food is a step forward. But then after eating, you're not hungry. So someone who's not hungry is already attained. So the person who has food is better than the person who doesn't have food. But the person who has food and has come to the point of satisfaction, that's what you're trying to get to. So someone else who's satisfied, he doesn't need the food. Does that make sense? You have a question? Huh? Any more? No more questions. Okay. You had? Or?
You were saying that the stage of Paramahansa can be attained when we see the real break from the service of God there with the devotees.
Uh-huh.
There is no other heat than the devotees with the
Paramahansa. Yes.
We don't see
Asat.
Satan.
That's true.
So he wants everybody to
cooperate the service. Very nice. So a comment's been made here is that we're saying that we made the point that engaging the senses in the Lord's service and the association of the devotees is what we're trying to get to. So the point is being made that Paramahamsa sees everybody as devotees. They don't see non-devotees. So therefore, they're always absorbed in that way. At least this is the devotional Paramahamsa.
Where the empathy comes with them.
Where does the empathy come with the Paramahamsas? How do we come to on the Paramahamsa platform, how do we come to that?
We are as devotees of Mahaprabhu. We try to, because we see them all as
devotees. Oh, how do we see empathy for other living entities? To how to bring them up. Okay. So then, question is, how are we going to develop the right attitude for interacting with devotees? two things are there. One is practicing the preaching so that we do, but the other is we practice that, or understand that Krishna loves everybody. Right? Father is a good son, is a bad son, but to him, he has affection for both. Right? So he's always looking to the upliftment of the son, you know, the son. So everybody belongs to Krishna. Krishna wants to see everybody's happiness. This difficulty is the son's too bad. The father can remove him from his house to, you know, for his benefit. You know, there's standards that must be met, and so there must be a certain level of social interaction. So it may be that he has to go for the benefit of the family. But for Krishna, since everything is him, where you can't go outside of Krishna. He can't throw you out of the house because he is the house. You know, there's nowhere else. He is the street. He is the gutter. He is the, you know, like that. So from the intimate, the spiritual world, and the material world, you're thrown out of there, you come here. But still, Krishna himself, it is still him, and he's come here, and he's doing all this out of affection for the living entity. Right? Means what would we say? Okay, somebody doesn't like you, ignores you, you're doing everything for them, and you completely ignore it and claim that it's you are doing it. Every opportunity you can, you ignore them. You know, you steal their stuff, use it for your own, claim it as your own. What would you say should be your relationship with that person? Right? We'd say, forget it, cut them off, have nothing to do with them. You know, they're ungrateful, they're just bad, just nothing to do with them, right? Yeah. But that's what we're doing to Krishna. And having said that, Krishna comes as Mahavishnu, comes because the material energy is there, it's the shadow. You have light, you have an object, you're going to have a shadow. Shadow's there. But Krishna goes the endeavor to enter that shadow and operates the shadow so that we can go on thinking like that. Right? He makes the arrangement that we can think we're God and we're this and we're that, and he comes as all the things. You got dead matter. You know, Krishna is interacting with the gopis. Okay, I want to be Krishna, therefore there must be some gopis. So Krishna has to take some dead matter and put it all together and make a gopi. And it's got to act like a gopi, right? You got the same jiva, but why does the girls do, you know, all their things and the boys do all theirs? And they all do the same everywhere in the world. There's no difference. Right? Even the dogs do the same. You know, you can look at the dogs, you can tell the difference in the mood between the male and female. You know, the male does the thing, and it's the same. You know, it's just the same. So that's the whole, Krishna creates that. You want to be God, God interacts with women, okay, he creates them, here they are. Okay, and you want to, since you're not God, you're not a male, so you wouldn't have a clue how to interact with them. Therefore, the Shastra tells you what they are and how to interact with them, you know. Yeah, and so then, he's making all that just so you can be God, right? You want to live in the gutter, he makes a nice gutter for you. And tells you, hey, you know, if you sweep, it'll be clean and nice, you won't get so much disease, and you leave it dirty, hey, you might get sick. You know, he'll make the broom for you. You know, he'll make the garbage man coming by to pick up the garbage. You know, he does it all for you. You know, so that's the whole thing, is he's doing all that. So if I understand that, he's doing that for everybody. That's why moralism is used to keep us socially functioning properly so that our senses are engaged properly. Otherwise, everyone's going to do their own thing. There's not going to be any commonality. So relationship is lost. Relationship is gained by having a common platform of social interaction so that we have some way to interact. That brings us higher to higher levels of personal realization until it becomes to Krishna is a person, I'm a person, the devotees are people, and we're eternal. Right? So that's what you're trying to get to. So, therefore, the morality is just to keep the social form together. But actually, if you want to operate it from the spiritual platform, it has no use. Because moral means connected to Krishna. Immoral means not connected to Krishna. Right? So, if we accept it on the Bhagavad platform, that's exactly what it means. Right? Yudhishthira didn't lie. We could say he's very moral. But it didn't please Krishna. His chariot touched the ground. So, that was immoral for him to not lie. And for him to tell the truth, that was immorality. Right? So that's the highest, the actual definition of morality. If we don't accept the personal relationship with Krishna, then there's a book, you know, the book of morals, written by Krishna. You follow the book, then this is good, bad, and that's very easy for us to go by. But in that, even though it's written by Krishna, it's meant to know Krishna, we can leave Krishna out of the equation. Because I'm a moral person, therefore, this is important that they do. I'm not a moral person, who cares? Right? The only reason people are fanatic about morality is because they feel I'm very moral. It's a false ego. You're a soul, you're not very moral, you're a soul. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. So, therefore, then if we understand Krishna loves every devotee just as much as everybody else, then one can start to have affection for other devotees, despite what they may or may not have done to us on the moral platform. Right? Our righteousness, our justice, our this and that. Nice, if you want to stay here in the material world and work it out. But if you want to go back to Godhead, then Krishna loves all the devotees. So they have their conditioning, they have their bad days, they have their angle, and so it's part of the Krishna's creation. My conditioned nature is different. I wouldn't use that, but they do. You know? So therefore then you become tolerant, you become broad-minded, you become humble. You develop the qualities that are necessary to interact. If we stand on our righteousness, there is no humility. Righteousness means lack of humility. Righteousness means lack of tolerance. I am righteous, therefore I can't tolerate. It's okay if your business is to protect everybody, but just because it's connected to you, right or wrong, because it's your perception of the application, it may be your perception is absolutely wrong. You know? I've so many times heard the voice, and this one said this, that, they mean this, that. You go and ask them. Right? Yesterday I was just hearing an explanation that the devotee Sahukta Maharaj was saying. He's heard it many times from senior devotees. They've heard Prabhupada say this, but he hasn't read it or like that other than that. But he was talking about the early days when devotees would go out and do Harinam. Nobody had seen people with shaved head and wearing their mother's bed sheets, you know, in two different colored socks, you know. Like that. So they didn't know what to think of. So just by somehow or another, people would just get angry and come up and harass devotees, beat devotees. No reason, no provocation. So devotees didn't know what to do. So then Prabhupada said, well, first, after the person hits you, then you ask them, my dear sir, why did you hit me? And if they give a reasonable answer, then, okay, you know, maybe we stepped on his, you know, pet cockroach or something, you know, in our ecstasy or, you know, some, who knows what it was. He was out walking his, you know, like that. So, okay, but if he doesn't give a reasonable answer, he said, then you hit him back. So that's the point, is that first you have to find what is the reason, why it was done. You have to ask why. Human life means a tato brahma jigyasa. So, atma means even down to, okay, you hit my body or you said bad things about me. That's words. Okay, so, therefore body, mind, words, those are all atma. So I should know what, I should inquire. I don't inquire, that means it's not self-realization. It's called prajalpa. I inquire, then. So many times you hear, yeah, but what if they do this after, you know, 9 months later they do this in this situation? We're not talking. What if they don't? You know, so it's just projecting. We want. You think about it, we, you know, on certain levels, we want people to act badly and harass us and bother us and be nasty people. We don't want to just, like, everybody could be nice and relate. We want, because we want to be inimical. We want to taste envy and revenge and all that. So somebody has to be inimical. Right? But if we don't need revenge, no one's inimical. Right? To Yudhishthira, he doesn't have an enemy. Duryodhana is not his enemy. He's just, you know, an attached, misdirected, you know, kshatriya who's not doing things the way he should do it. Unfortunate. But he's not, but Yudhishthira is Duryodhana's sworn enemy. Because he wants enemies, he wants to taste that, he wants to wallow in that. So actually, if you think about it, everybody's bad, or this one's bad, that one's bad, someone's always harassing, right? He always hears that, you know, everybody's always bothering, right? Because we want that, we want to taste that anger, right? We want, anger comes after frustration. Frustration means our desires aren't being fulfilled. Means we don't know what we're doing. Yeah, you have to blame someone. We're the idiots, we don't know how to operate the material energy. We're getting frustrated, therefore we're getting angry, therefore it's got to be everybody else's fault. Not that I'm an idiot, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm in the kitchen, I'm getting cut with the knife, the grater, I'm grating my fingers, I'm getting burned on the stove, you know, the stuff's getting burned, it's got too much salt. It's got to be someone else's fault, guaranteed. Oh, you didn't tell me the salt was so salty. You didn't tell me the pot was like this. You didn't tell me this or that or that. You didn't even tell me the knife was so sharp. On and on and on. Right? No, it's just we don't know what we're doing. So we don't know what we're doing here socially. Therefore, we suffer. Therefore, someone else has got to be the cause. Therefore, this one said this. We don't ask. So atmatat means we ask, what is going on? Why did you say? I have heard that you said this. What did you mean? I don't have to go, hey, I heard this, what do you mean? That means I've already come to the conclusion that's bad. No, I go up, I've heard that you said this, what did you mean? And then they'll mean, well, yeah, because I do think you're a rat bag. Or they may say, you know, no, actually, we were talking about this and that, and this is what was meant. And then if you hear it, it's probably many times, and sometimes they're talking, they're glorifying, but the other person thought, oh, you know, they're... You know what I'm saying? So like that. And then you find out, oh, like that. And if they give a bad answer, then you make your decision there. You can give your answer back or you decide to associate with them or not. But until you've inquired. But if we look at it, so much in our life that we have opinions about other people are based on what we heard from others or our perception of it. Right? You know, how many times is it famous you see in the movies where there's a boy and a girl and the angle that you get is just right. It looks like they're kissing, but they're about 3 feet away from each other and they're talking. Right? It's only at the end of the movie that it's found out they were only talking, they weren't kissing, and the whole thing has been a vendetta by the other, whoever it was that saw that and all, and then finally they work it out. You know. So why not? So many times our perception is wrong. Right? That's pratyaksha is considered for animals, right? Yeah, what we want to perceive. So therefore, we start by being able to accommodate that God loves everybody, and especially the devotees. Therefore, I should try to adjust with that. Krishna loves them so, and I'm supposed to like Krishna, and when we go back to Godhead, I'm going to be with that person anyway, so I might as well start getting used to it now, you know? And, you know, whatever is appropriate for the social functioning, I should interact in that way, or not as appropriate. So we can start there, then that will make it easy. But it's got to be, Krishna's point in the Gita is, you take my angle of vision. I come to the world, I have nothing to do here. But I do things because if I don't, no one else, I set good example. Right? So, and in doing that, I only do that for the purpose of interacting with my devotees and protecting my devotees. Interact with the demons and correcting them, that's a side thing. You know, it's just like you have a meal, you're going to get a plate and a spoon and a cup anyway. We don't have, like if I say, please come to lunch today, you know, you don't, you may ask, oh, what's for lunch? I don't ask, well, will I get a plate? You know, like that. Yeah, yeah, you don't have a problem, you get a plate and a spoon also. Yeah, yeah. Like, what about a cup for the drink? And like, yeah, yeah, don't worry, just come like that and like that. You know, like, I mean, but what will we put the plate on? You know, I mean, does it go on somewhere or do I have to hold it? Or, you know, do I have to use my mystic powers to float it? Or, no, it doesn't. So, therefore, for Krishna, protecting the devotees means getting rid of the demons. It's a side thing. Like that, it just goes. That it doesn't. It's not a focus for Krishna, right? So that's how Krishna deals with the material energy. Naishkarmya, Nishkam Karma Yoga is how Krishna deals with the material energy, right? That's the method. So you deal like that, you're liberated. You get out of here, right? And because you do it for Him. Krishna does everything to please Himself. So if we do the same perception, do everything to please Krishna, then it works. Right? Does that make sense? So now, in this, then we look at it that Krishna loves all these devotees, so therefore we should start to appreciate. But Krishna still, he reciprocates according to how they reciprocate with Him. It's not sentimental. Right? They come forward, He comes forward. They don't come forward, then He reserves Himself. So in the same way is, we have that potential that all the devotees have affection for because Krishna has affection for them. But how they interact with us, we reciprocate.
It's like He always comes forward. If we don't want Him, He just smiles.
Krishna comes forward. Yeah, He'll come forward in some form. Because it's just like this. Generally, the principle is the masculine comes forward, but he'll only come forward if he thinks there's going to be a response from the female. If he thinks there's going to be no response, he will not come forward. And so therefore, but if the male is not coming forward, the female goes forward to invoke a risk to the action that he knows that there's something, then it'll go the other way. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it functions. So therefore, Krishna will do things to try to invoke some interaction. And then how we interact, how we approach, then He'll interact. Does that make sense? Okay. So then, last point, let me say. And then we'll... question is that it's taking on the point we were making that the Varnashram system is designed for everybody at any station as a devotee can become a Paramahamsa. Right? It means if, let us take just a focus on that is for the impersonalists, they will have to go through the system. They will only become Paramahamsas as sannyasis. Like that. But for the devotee, he can become Paramahamsa at any stage. It's not a problem because he's connecting everything to Krishna. And Krishna is the ultimate, you know, that's what we're trying to get to. Paramahamsa means one who's absorbed in para. Hamsa means you're out of the material world. Paramahamsa means you're in para, the spiritual world. Right? So, and then... there's sometimes it's used that devotees may say that, well, the Paramahamsa, not everybody can become advanced. You take the Shudras. Shudras by nature, by the modes and ignorance, therefore can't come to the Paramahamsa platform. Therefore, there's no need for them to endeavor or anything like that, and we can just, you know, roast in our own juices and nobody should say anything. Okay, first comment that comes to mind when you were saying is, if we notice the term Shudra, where does it fall in the two lists of Varna and Ashram? Right? Is it in Ashram or is it in Varna? It's Varna. So Shudra means the method how you make your money. You make your money by working for someone else. That's a Shudra. Right? You make your money by agriculture, trade, cows, but you're a Vaishya. You make it by protecting the people. That doesn't mean, you know, the protection business. It means you protect the people. Then you take tax. Right? Or you study, you teach. Right? It's just how you're making your money. That's all. Ashram Dharma is the Vedic culture as such. That's for everybody. Right? The Shudras, if they don't follow all the tenets of the Ashram Dharma, this is, we're talking non-devotees, it's not seen bad because a Shudra can't fall below a Shudra. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you're on the floor, laying on the floor, you can't fall lower than that. If you're sitting in a chair, standing up, you can fall down to the floor level. So you can't get below Shudra. So therefore, so if they follow it, it's a progression for them. Right? Does that make sense? So that would be the stage if we're talking non-devotees. But if we're talking non-devotees, except for those basically born in very aristocratic traditional families, I don't think there's anything else other than, you know, the option of anything else is not there anyway. You know, so to work in any other platform wouldn't be there. So, but as a devotee automatically is a Brahmin. But that's Brahmin by culture, because the perfection of the culture is Paramahamsa, which means the perfect devotee. But how they make their money, that's still going to be according to the four varnas. So that's where the mistake is being made. That's where the overlook is being made in this presentation, is what they're talking about is all right if you're talking about just karmis, who are not devotees. Then yes, the Shudra generally is, because of the mode of ignorance, the situation, desires, background, everything, is not going to be interested in the mode of goodness and anything higher. But he should be. That's why it's mentioned in the Dharma Shastra that the proper, you know, it's just everybody should be situated properly. Then there's, if you can't situate yourself properly, like if a Brahmin can't do brahminical duties, he can take up Kshatriya or Vaishya. So the proper situation of a Shudra is working for a Brahmin. Working for a Kshatriya or Vaishya is considered second rate. The perfection of a Shudra is working for a Brahmin, a qualified Brahmin. Then he's going to appreciate that Brahman, those qualities, and then next he'll move into that. Otherwise, he works for a Vaishya, he'll move up into that, or should work into that. You know, so that way it brings him right immediately to that platform. Right? So, in this, then, it doesn't apply, because we're not talking people who come in good families and that, so even you're born a Shudra. Mlechan Yavan is lower than that. So you were born, you know, you were born basically, you're not breaking the regulative principles. Right? You know, you're not going against God's will. I mean, God's will was you would stay in the womb, you would be born, you'd come out, you'd cry, you'd look like a mess. I mean, it's, you're following God's rule. But after that, by association, then you're elevated or dropped. Right? So then, in this, is the devotee means that they have taken up the desire to please Krishna. So that's the perfection of a Brahman. Brahman is one who knows Brahman. So not only Brahman, you're knowing the Supreme Brahman as a person. So even of Brahmins, you're still great. So the culture for even a devotee who, you know, works for someone else for a living, that doesn't matter. Like that, because culturally, it's the same platform. It may be, you know, because of that, it's very strong. There may not be a great academic interest you know, sadhana may not be greatly inspirational. He's not thinking of how to follow all the 44 rules of Chaturmasya for 4 months. And, you know, he's not thinking like that. But because he's a devotee, he wants to chant and hear and take prasad and do some service for Krishna. So that's perfect. And you ask him philosophy, even the simplest devotee can tell you the fundamental, you know, philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that that itself is enough to take you back to Godhead. Every devotee can tell you that. Like that. So therefore, but they may not be so intellectual, that doesn't matter. Right? You know, if they're simple, that's good enough. Absorb yourself, body, mind, words should be engaged, that's all. So that's all we're saying. So, a secondary flaw we see here is that they're trying to open the doors because we're a Shudra, therefore we don't have to follow the rules and regulations. But a Shudra means one who does follow rules and regulations. A Malecha and Yavanas means one who doesn't. Shudra follows. Right? But he may not have the character. But he performs his duties properly and all that. And where he's weak, then there's the administration is there to keep it in line. He works for somebody, they keep him in line. There's an administration that keeps him in line. There's always some teachers and preachers that helps keep him in line. You know, his mother keeps him in line. You know, like that. So it's there's something there. So what they're trying to say is, I don't have to follow because I'm a Shudra. No, it's that you don't have to follow because you're a Malecha. Just be, you know, we want to say, we want to be honest, you know, we can't. Okay, so be honest. Understand that culturally you're a Malecha. Don't even give this Shudra crap. You're a Malecha, and you like it. And you think it's great, and you think everybody else should be like that, and everybody else is faking it if they're not. But get real. There are people that actually do have, Krishna did make 3 modes. So those modes, the people do exist in those modes. Devotees were some once, speaking badly about the Indian Brahmins. And Prabhupada cut them off and say, there are people who are born qualified high-grade Brahmins. They may or may not be devotees, but they are qualified Brahmins. I know, I've seen them myself. Right? People who, after going in the bathroom and doing the, you know, strangest fanatical thing of actually washing their hands, mouth, and feet in the bathroom before they left, you know, that very, we've heard of that, you know, a million years ago, it was practical nowadays. But when they come out, that's considered you're clean in that, but you're not pure. They'll come out and in water that's outside the bathroom, they'll do that again. Then they're considered pure to go into the house. And then the higher grades of those Brahmins, you can't touch that water because you're only bathroom clean, you're not house clean. So someone who's house clean has to come and pour the water for you to wash your hands. After that, then you can take it and do it yourself. And there's people today who are practicing that. Brahmins. It's going on right now. 2006, April. Right, you know, it's happening despite whatever anybody across the, you know, the Atlantic has to say about it. We know it's far away, they haven't seen it, and you know, ostriches, even though they're a little farther west, have that mentality. If I can't see it, it doesn't exist. So, like that. But it happens, it's there. So therefore, even theoretically, even if they don't have experience and they can't do the miserliness of their heart, they can at least accept in theory that there could be someone in a higher mode than me, and actually they like to follow the regulative principles, and it's not false. You know, it would be nicer and more inspiring if they weren't a little more, say, socially narrow-minded, so they can't accommodate me. Or they figure that they're proud because of it, or you know, they're a little rough because of it, or a little standoffish because of it. But still, it's not artificial. And if they can accept that, then they'll actually be able to accept their own position, and then they'll be able to make it progressive. Because wherever it is, even if you can't follow, but start from there, and from that point, move forward. Okay, I can't handle dressing as a devotee. I think it's this. But okay, why don't I just try it? You know, Prabhupada liked this. So, hey, when I do visit the temple, you know, once a year for prasad on Janmashtami night, I could wear a dhoti. You know, once a year, or, you know, something, or, you know, just work out something. You know, it's like Prabhupada caught, what was it? One devotee who was carving Jagannath. We had this cigarette sitting on Jagannath's head. So Prabhupada didn't say, this is nonsense, you stop this, is that, get out of here, all these kinds of things. He said, okay, you have this problem. You know, best is you just stop it. That's the best option. If you can't, then here's what you do. You regulate it. So that means you get 2 cigarettes a day. Right? One after breakfast, one after lunch. I think within a week they'd stop smoking. Because once you regulate it, it's down, and that's, you can have it, but you can only have this much. It loses its interest. Right? It's only when there's no regulation that's interesting. Because then you're in control of it. I do whatever I want. But when it's, you're controlled by it. I want it, but I'm controlled by it. Right? I want the girl, I do whatever I want. Hey, it's great. As soon as I make a commitment, and then now she starts to control me. Hey, wait a minute, I don't like this. Right? So that's the whole point. It's when the senses are controlled and engaged, that's when it becomes progressive. Then you start to taste higher. You get a higher taste. So if they would at least acknowledge that, then wherever they're at, fine. But acknowledge it, and acknowledge what kind of Maya it is, and start from there. It's Maya, so that doesn't mean, oh, it's okay. Because one could say, but if you acknowledge it and say it's okay, you're kind of like saying it's good and it's okay, people will take it up. That was Vyasadeva's mistake. He's pointing out perfectly well how to engage. Better you don't do this, you just be a devotee. But since you're not, here's how you at least follow Krishna's, you know, direction. But they'll miss the point. So in saying this, one has to be very careful, is that wherever it is, it starts from there. You know, like when Krishna, when Prabhupada went to San Francisco, or when he went, you know, first at, you know, 26 Second Avenue, you know, he didn't have people that were shaved up. They were long-haired, dirty hippies. They still didn't take, they took their bath once, you know, when it rained, or, you know, once a week, or, you know, whatever was their natural, organic method. You know, they still had the long hair. They still ate Dunkin' Donuts. They still did all these things. But they were chanting. He starts from there, chanting, then taking prasadam, you know, doing this, hearing the philosophy, then slowly, slowly bringing them in. Then when he, only when he had a group that were committed, then when there was a devotee that couldn't do that, then he says, you have to stay outside. But before that, then he, in other words, to get somebody wherever he is, Prabhupada said, you don't have to change your position, you just change the consciousness. Everything else will change anyway. The guy who goes, you know, he's wearing his three-piece suit, he's a big businessman, he doesn't have to change anything. He just stays there, chants Hare Krishna, automatically he'll start to adjust things himself. You have a good associate, he'll adjust. It has to. So, if you just accept what it is, but it's wrong, but it is where I'm at, but it's wrong, but therefore I'm not, oh, I'm so bad. It's, no, it's just, it happens to be where you are. You know, you fell over in a mud puddle, you don't, oh, I'm so dirty, I'm so useless, this is it, I'm here in this mud puddle forever. No, you just go, oh, hey, got mud, go back, change, take a bath, change clothes, all right, go. So there's all these balances, is that acknowledge where you're at, otherwise you can't acknowledge others. In acknowledging where you're at, don't say it's okay. No, it's Maya, but that's where you're starting from. That's the realisms, that's where you have to work from. And being in that place, don't berate yourself for it. Just go, okay, that's stupid, I'm there, but this is now make a progressive plan to move forward. Does that make some sense? And then it will work. Like that. This is yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay. What about to do about that within the moment? Okay. So I think as we're over time, that anybody would like to go now, feel free that the class has ended, and now we'll continue with this question, you know, for some more time. Mataji's question is that I mentioned two kinds of brahmacharis that are actually brahmacharis. So he's asking, what about, it appears that there's practically a third kind of brahmachari who is so-called brahmachari but associates, hangs out with the women. So what is that and what to do about that? Technically speaking, they would not be called a brahmachari, they'd be called a bachelor. Like that. So there is a difference between a brahmachari and a bachelor. A brahmachari will be one who is following the rules of a brahmachari. He may plan to get married in the future, or he may not be planning to get married. But in any case, he's following the duties of a brahmachari. A bachelor is one who would like to get married, and he thinks by following somehow or another, doing all the things the grihasthas do, though not taking the responsibility, is going to be highly impressive to women. Like that. Somehow or another, if we'll note is that the bachelor community as a whole is kind of unsuccessful with women. Generally, the women are interested in the good brahmacharis because they know they can follow, they can commit, they can work, they can do. Well, the bachelors have a tendency to be lazy and just enjoyers, so they're not taken necessarily so seriously. So it's an unfortunate, situation, you know. What to do about it? Main thing is education. If the boys and girls involved understand what it is they're losing by operating within that, if they're intelligent, then they would avoid it. Because if they don't know how to apply it and control themselves, then what will happen is when they do find somebody that they really want to spend time with, you know, spend their life with, they won't have the culture skills to do it. Because all they've done is cultivated how to bridge the gap to meet the boy or girl and how to do something to catch attention. You know, that's all they know. So they only know how to create attention or interest or that. Or they only desire to be like those people who can do that. But that's a very, how you say, only if you know what you're dealing with does that ability have use. Because unfortunately, because they're untrained, then they'll catch the person, but they'll still be, because it's their habit, and especially since they did it during teenage, that's how they're wired. So the rest of their life, they'll always be looking at another man or another woman. Even though they're with one, they're going to be looking at another. Because that's all they've ever done. Is you come into a group, you check out what's there, one that looks interesting, you move in on that. So that's what they know what to do. So now you have one you're with, but something walks in that's equally or more interesting, then naturally you want to practice how your culture. So it won't work very good. Right? So only as long as there's enamorment can it work. As soon as enamorment goes, one starts to notice something's wrong. So that's one problem. Two is that principle is there in the Vedic culture, but you're supposed to do that with the person that you've committed yourself to. You should be trying to attract and bridge the gap at any point that has not been fully bridged with that person every day, all day, for however long you're together. That's where it's supposed to be used. Right? So, the boy or the girl is known, okay, what's interesting to the boy or girl of the class they're interested in. But they only know it as a class. They don't know how to please an individual. Because they're looking at it that I'm doing this to attract them. So I do, the boy does things that attracts girls, generically. And the girl does stuff that attracts boys, generically. But it's I want the boy or I want the girl. Therefore, it's impersonal. It's only the field. The other person is just part of the field. I do this, and then the boys do that. You know, I walk in like this, and they all go, wow. You know? And so I'm in control. I'm in power. You know? So that's the trip. Does that make sense? But the problem comes is that they don't know how to, means they know generically, boys or girls, they don't know how to please a specific individual. What do they like? What do they want? And therefore, we are always trying to develop that and refine that. So it does have its place. That's what I'm meaning. It's not that anything that anyone's doing has its place, but it's just how big or small it is. It's like a very, very small thing. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. If they understand this, then since they're basing their whole life on it, then when they actually get married, what are they going to do? But they don't have a life of their own. Their whole life is how to attract the other person. They don't actually have a life. You know? What are their values? And because they're only attracting, everybody's quiet about their life. Right? The girl's not going to tell the boy, hey, I came from a big family. I thought it was great having so many brothers and sisters. You know, I would like to have 5 or 6 kids. You know, the guy's like, hey, wait, you're taking this too fast. You know, so slow down here. You know, it's just, you know, we just got to know each other, you know, 3 years ago, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying? So nobody says anything. So that's, they don't know, right? And, you know, the boy's always asking their girl, hey, you want to go out, let's have a pizza, or go eat some puchkas, or eat some ice cream. But, you know, it's great, the girl likes it, but it never dawns on her that food is important to this guy. That means when they're married, who's supposed to buy the food? Wouldn't come into the girl's mind at all. Right? So it's there, you know. So these kind of things is that their own private life is actually so far hidden they themselves don't even know who they are. So therefore, when they get married, they won't. So that's the problem with this, you know, bachelor-bachelorini system, is that they're so absorbed in making themselves desirable that they don't know how to be themselves or who they are. So that's the weakness. So that's why the training is the boy is controlled in his senses, learns to be sensitive, the girl is chaste and learns to be satisfied. If you get a boy and girl like that, you can match them. No problem. But if those four qualities aren't there, it doesn't matter. You cannot make a good match. If you look at any marriage that fell apart, it will have fallen apart because of one of those four things. Boy's senses weren't controlled, either with his own wife or someone else, or, you know, whatever it is. He's insensitive. You know, that's going to be, what else is there going to be that a woman's going to dump the guy? Right? And the girl's not chaste and not satisfied. What other reason is the guy going to dump the girl? Whatever he does, she's never satisfied, so why bother? Or she's off with every other guy around. Therefore, the guy's going to lose interest. So these four, that's it. So if you don't have them, you're going to get your boy or girl, but you're not going to be able to keep them. And if you can't keep them, you're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be happy. And if you're not, and because that's important for you, it's going to have a tendency to affect your Krishna consciousness. Right? You won't be able to, it means boy and girl that are completely enamored, you know, they don't chant their japa. They don't do anything. You know, they just sit around all day thinking about, you know, the same look. One look. 24/7, you know, the look. You know, the smell, the sound of the voice. That's all they do. You know? So even that's not wrong if that was Krishna. You know, Krishna looks so beautiful, you know, the smile. That's what the devotees in Vrindavan do. But, so they don't. So until they're situated, then they can calm down and get down to the reality of chanting the japa and doing things and stuff like that. So that's why the varnashram is used by the devotees who are conditioned. Because of a conditioning, we get distracted sometimes so badly that we can't perform our service. So the varnashram system is there so that we're not affected by that. Right? You know, that's the point. The boy is looking at any girl. But if he marries one, then he only looks at the one, and then there will only be when he's at home. And the rest of the day he can do his service. But otherwise, he's always distracted. So that's the point. Take it from generic to specific. The specific, you actually interact. Generic, you're not interacting with. How much can you get by flouncing down the street and have every guy in the street look at you? Great. It's great to know that you look good. But what does that get for you? Right? It doesn't actually get you anything. You know, there's no food, there's no shelter, there's no interaction, nothing. Great. You know, you melted, you know, half the street. Fine. Now what? You know? What are the four things? For the boy, sense control and sensitivity. Right? Sensitivity doesn't mean sensitive to himself, it means sensitive to others. You know, the boy who's always sensitive to himself, you know, hey, you know, girls are hanging out with other girls, you know, that's why do you need a guy for like that, you know? So it means sensitive to the needs of women. Right? Does it even be sensitive to the needs of women? Actually, it'd be sensitive to the needs of anybody. Like that, you know. So that's the principle. Does that make sense? You know? So because